Blog Talk Radio.
The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is strong in this place. I feel His anointing strong here. If you might be expecting something, just open your spirit to receive. Whether you're watching us through the networks, open your spirit to receive. This song is entitled Holy Spirit.
Holy Ghost, you guide me.
Give honor, acknowledge the mission of the Holy Spirit. That song will be our song for this book. I read across it, and the words were so powerfully illustrative of what's happening in our lives in this season. And the Holy Spirit is in charge. He is showing us things that most men don't see. He is revealing things to us, enlightening our God's eye view. We studied the sevenfold spirit of the Holy Spirit, and we understood that each aspect of the Holy Spirit is necessary as we answer the call to come up hither. We're in a new place, a different place, a place where we will hear the heartbeat of God and respond to it as the Holy Spirit gives us insight and understanding. And so I do want to just start with the prayer actually in chapter 3 on page 86. I see that Elder Roberta, if you would pray a prayer for us as we get started on this.
I'm sorry, what did you say? You said something about page 86?
No, 68. The prayer on page 68. Or
68.
Your prayer.
Yes. Oh, it's fine. Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come this morning thanking you and praising you for this another day of your love, your grace, and your mercy toward us, Father. We thank you even now, Father God, for salvation on today. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who lived, suffered, and died for the remission of our sins, Father God. He took upon us, Father God, the curse of the law, Father God. He took upon himself all of our infirmities, Father God. Father God, we love you. We love your son, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we are not deceived, Father God. Father God, we hear your voice and obey your leading. We ask for clear discernment of any and all wrong relationships and motives coming into our lives, Father God. Father God, we want to love and value your bride. We want to be a person of mercy and grace, Father God. We do not want to accuse. We do not want to attack. And we do not want to criticize everyone. But we do want to walk in wisdom, your wisdom, Father God. Help us walk in wisdom and clear discernment, Father God. Oh, Father God, even now in the name of Jesus, I ask that you bless each one under the sound of my voice. Even now, I ask that you continue to strengthen them, continue to endow them with your wisdom, your knowledge, your truth, your revelation and understanding of your word, your will for their lives, Father God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we want to get launched into the deep on this Friday, August 25th, from the book of Hell's Toxic Trio. We are on chapter 3, and we're starting in chapter 3 on Strange Fire Burns. That's on page 62. We did a review last week during the conference. As different ones were enjoying the powerful move of God at the parliament as well as at the headquarters on in Chicago of Labor for Life, and we still were able to come forth with a word from the Word. So we thank God for opportunities to share in this season some truths that are revealing some structure and some of the strategies that heaven needs us to be aware of, that heaven needs us to understand. We have been so in a season of understanding the prophetic and the apostolic, the different offices. And we're seeing now why it is so important that we understand each one and what they are assigned to do and why God put them in the church, because he established them in the church. And so starting with this this strange fire, everything God has, the enemy tries to counterfeit it. And we do know the fire starters this year, a class of 2023, and the fire of God that purifies and cleanses and draws and illuminates. And so we see God's fire, and the enemy wants to, has an agenda of its own. So they engage in what is called strange fire. It's one of the tactics of Jezebel spirit, the Jezebel spirit employs in false prophetic witchcraft. And so we saw Saul did it and lost the authority over the kingdom of Israel because of the strange fire. He wanted to do what he wanted to do, even though it was against what God said. So this is rebellion. Rebellion is witchcraft. Witchcraft is the first component of rebelliousness. And so we're seeing and understanding how this Jezebel's spirit, the witching spirit, how it works. Because Saul rejected the word of the Lord and did what he wanted to do in the temple, he disregarded God's instruction. And so we have to realized one of the churches, Thyatira, I believe, was also found to, God had a problem with them because they allowed that Jezebel spirit in their midst. So as a church, we were warned about it. As a church, we have been given weapons against it, that Jezebel spirit is one of the spirits of influence of the seven mountains, and the displacing authority is the prophet. So we can understand now why that Jezebel spirit is after the prophet, trying to silence the voice of the whispers of God to his children. So if we don't know the truth of what God is revealing and releasing in the earth realm, we would walk in error, or bare minimum, we would walk in vain, because it would not be what God wants, but rather man's agenda of what he thinks God means or wants. And thereby is why the Holy Spirit is our revelatory resource. He will give us the revelation of what even the prophet says, because you can get a prophetic word, but you may not get the revelation of that word. You can hear the words of it, but you may not understand the heartbeat of God behind his releasing it in the earth realm in this season, at that place and through that person and at that time. So the Jezebel spirit is a false prophetic voice in the earth realm, a voice that meets the human needs of the flesh, and as a result, people embrace it. People embrace that word because, I mean, let's be for real, everybody wants to get a wonderful word from the Lord, especially if they believe someone that's speaking on God's behalf is literally releasing this word in our life. Now, it's not that God doesn't release powerful, awesome words in our life. He does, but he does them for his glory, not necessarily to satisfy our flesh needs. He is not interested in making our flesh satisfied. So if it's going to satisfy our flesh, then we should kind of go into prayer and fasting for discernment of the motive of this prophetic individual that is releasing a word. And so it's not so much the word, but it is the motive behind the word. Well, we are not empowered in and of ourselves to know the spirit behind the word, which is why we have to be in this relationship, this covenant relationship with God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is going to lead us into all truth. So he's going to tell us the truth of the matter. He's going to correct what isn't right, and he is going to give us teaching as to what it is God intends for us to glean from the prophetic word that's shared with us. And so we see that anyone that decides that the things that the Lord is requiring is they can sidestep it. And side by sidestepping, I mean, if the leader, God says he gives us passes after his own heart. So if the leader that God places over us gives us instructions, and we choose not to do them, then we are rebelling, which means that spirit of Jezebel is being released in our midst. And we know when that happens with one another, because you can hear somebody say, well, you know, they said do this, but I'm not going to do it. You know, I just don't feel that or whatever. Well, that's rebellion. That is the spirit of Jezebel. And so if everybody did what was right in their own eyes, we would have no need of a pastor or a God. We would just do it our way. But that's not God's structure for his church, which he has become very, very clear in this season for us to understand exactly how he has structured the church, how he has put some first apostles, then prophets, then teachers, and this is 2 Corinthians First Corinthians list of things that God put in the church so that the church would be edified. In other words, so the church would grow and be that these things are, these offices are needed. And the reason being because they are the displacing authority over the strategy of the enemy, over the strange fire that the spirit of Jezebel will cause to burn in the midst of a congregation. One of the other aspects, it is no mistake that God's government is established as a theocracy. In other words, it's not a let's vote and it's a democracy. No, it is led by one person, and that person is the one that God has established over that flock, over the government of the kingdom in that particular area. And we as the quiet, a lifestyle of surrendering. And it's hard to surrender some things. One of the holy obedience questions that was released in this season was to surrender, to sacrifice, and to separate. So we, those are things that we often have to do. And it's not when something is a sin, but it's when something is being established, and it is a sin to disobey the establishment of it, even when we don't understand it. One of the things that I remember growing up in the church was we were told as leaders, if you held an office in the church, that you were not to wear pants ever. So whether it's, in church or out of church, you were not to wear pants. And I know that my first response was, well, I won't do it in church. But, when I'm at home, I'll wear what I want. Well, that was rebellion, and that was a spirit of witchcraft. And the Holy Spirit had to show me how it doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. It's what my leader asked me to do. So I had a choice. I could either do it and be in compliance, be in obedience to leadership, or don't be in leadership, okay? So there's some things that you are, and you cannot not be them just because there's a rule concerning them. But what we have to do is submit to sacrifice, to surrender my thoughts and my opinion and my preferences, and even my rights to under the authority of the power in the house. As a result, when I came into compliance, and I had a lot of reasons why, I don't have enough money to buy stuff for everything I do, yada, 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 yada. And reasonable opposition. And yet, when I agreed, when I obeyed, when I surrendered, when I repented, and first I had to repent for everybody that I said it to, and given my opinion, and how we do when something comes down from the head, we get on the telephone and we start talking about it. That's a sin. That's a sin. That is the spirit of Jezebel. That's the spirit of witchcraft. That's the spirit of rebellion, rebelling against leadership. And remember, this leadership has been established by God. He said, pray for your leaders. He told us to pray for Trump. He instructed his children, that this is, he's there because I let him be there. You pray for him. So we have a responsibility. And one of the things, particularly in the church, it is a theocracy. It is not ruled by popular demand, because we don't know what God is trying to bring in our character, of what He is building in that place of integral. And so to just obey man helps us learn to obey God. So when you obey the person that the Lord puts there, because He told us, He said, when they persecute you, they're persecuting me. It's not you they're persecuting, it's me. Because I put you there, and you're talking about me. And so we have to understand the things that we do are a direct reflection of what's in our heart towards God. And that spirit of Jezebel, that spiritual assassin, is a spirit that we need the discernment for, because it creeps in such a way, not bold and big and obvious, but just in little things, and it starts to pull us, seduce us away, just like a woman starts it maybe a wink or a blink or the way she moves. She don't just right away jump in your face, say, here, and take me, okay? But little things that get your attention and start pulling you in a direction that is not appropriate, nor is it in harmony with God. We are invited into a lifestyle of surrender. The Apostle Paul, who we know was a powerful early church apostle, referred to himself as a bond servant. And I thought it was very interesting when they define what a bond servant is. And a lot of times, because we've never been in that kind of environment, you know, where people, and people say, well, we have been in a slave environment. Well, most of us have not, but, you know, our ancestors were. But in that kind of environment, there were certain things that happened, and a bond servant was a servant that won their freedom. So they were free, but they chose not to leave their master. And one of the actual rituals that they did to indicate the intentions of their heart was to have their ear pierced through to the doorpost of the master's house. That's deep. That's the commitment. That is definitely a deep demonstration of a surrendered lifestyle. I give my freedom up to serve, to serve. That's one of the paramount goals in this season that Apostle is doing, giving up the title for the towel, to serve. All things, Paul said, are lawful for me. I can do it because I'm free, but not all things are helpful. They don't help me to share the gospel, to empower me to endure the warfare that comes with sharing the gospel. They're not, it's not lawful, it's not good to be, because it doesn't build my character that I need in order to stand steadfast and unmovable. He was stating that he did not live a life of navigating narrow roads, of being on the mark, on the money, pressing towards the mark, because it was the law or it was the thing to do, but because of him understanding the grace of God. Because of the love and the grace of God through Jesus Christ, he was set free from the law, but he chose to remain attached to the ways of the Lord. He said no to some things because they just weren't wise for him as an apostle. And that was that the whole situation that I had brought up about the pants. It just wasn't the wise thing to do for a leader in a house that had a rule against it. And so you disrespect the house and whose house. house it is when you don't follow the rules, and that is the spirit of Jezebel. The bondservant has his ear pressed to the doorpost of the house of his master. He's listening to the heartbeat of the house. It is another God wants to bring us so in tune with his voice and his desire that we hear the secret whispers of his heart and we know his ways. So we know his ways. That's one of the things that the song says in Holy Spirit, that, you know, I don't need anybody else because you're with me. And so it's not saying I don't need someone to continue to teach me or walk with me or I'm a part of the body. But what he's saying is I'm not helpless and I don't have to wait to be told everything I do because Holy Spirit is there. And he is more real than the breath that he breathes. And so he is there to give him the instructions and the directions and the intimacy of God's heart so that his life is one of power and miracles, signs, and wonders. A bondservant is humble. And so we start now seeing these character traits of the humility of the servants of God as opposed to and the humility of those that are walking in holy obedience to those that are renegade and, you know, that's just not their thing or they don't feel it. Witchcraft lusts for quick power and dominion. They don't want to wait. They don't want to put the work in. They don't want to put the effort. They figure it's quick, easy, we could do this because, after all, we're in charge. A bondservant is disciplined. That's one of the things that as children of God, we have to become more spiritually disciplined so that we are strengthened in our faith of discernment so that we're not easily deceived. You know, because we know so, we have such intimate knowledge of God and his ways, the Lord and his ways and how he does things, that it will become apparent to us when it is not from the heart of God. You feel something within you that just doesn't line up. A witch is arrogant and boastful, whereas a bondservant lives to please the master. A witch lives to serve and please self. Witchcraft is self-focused, self-promoting, self-serving, self-pleasing, and Jezebel is that spirit. And so we have to understand it is not just that hideous Jezebel on the Mount Carmel that killed the priest. She has a look. She has a strange fire that when it burns is not in harmony with God. The author shares an incident with a person that came into his ministry, and each time these things happen, he always says something deep within him is like a mental spiritual check that isn't, you know, it's not satisfied. It's just, what is that? I don't know what that is. You know, and yet what it is the Holy Spirit giving him discernment of, no, that's not. Even though everything they do, you may see, it seems right, it looks great. They're individual, very hospitality, you know, very personable. They come, you know, with wonderful words of encouragement, and yet their motives are not pure. They are... when you listen to the word to discern the motives, you can identify that it is a strange fire. It is not the fire of God that purifies and glorifies God. These people come in the office of the prophet, indicating that they are, whereas, you know, scripture tells you to try a prophet, you know, and try the spirit and know the spirit. Now, one of the really interesting things for me, as I was reading this, and you guys can share the thing that stuck out to you, was the fact that these individuals, because of the spirit realm, and they talk about, I think that's the second chapter, but the third heaven, the second heaven, the first heaven. And just the fact that if we could see it in the spirit realm, we can see these angels and demons coming and going up and going down, coming and going, moving and navigating around to different situations and circumstances. And as they do, the author shared a conversation he was having with his wife. And as he was having it, this person that had come into their ministry as a prophetic voice called him on the phone and shared some of the stuff that he and his wife were speaking about. And obviously that was like, that took him back, just like we can be talking here at home. And all of a sudden on the computer, ad a pop-up about the thing we're talking about. And so I was familiar with that happening, but I wasn't familiar with this, and I've heard apostles say that some people have a word, but it was an illegitimate word because of the way they got the word. So in the spirit realm, the enemy can hear what we're saying, as long as our conversation is in harmony with God, okay, and we're not using vain things or colloquialism or other things like that open a door for the spirit, then it's not much they can do with our conversation. But when we are conversing and even bearing our hearts, or whatever it is, so what the demons do, they study us. They study everything we say. They study our reactions. They study like the result of situations and circumstances that we're in and how we handle them. And they convey that to other powers and principalities, which is how you know that there is a hierarchy. There is a structure in the spirit realm. So you have the demons that will deliver information to the powers and principalities and the rulers in dark places, and some of them, as we'll see, I think in the next chapter, which is really powerful, you'll see what each one of them does in the area of each office, and the office that displaces them. But the thing that got me was that they are, and I've heard apostles say it, I just brushed it off because it, you know, didn't, well, I did. The fact that they got it by eavesdropping in the spirit realm. And so everything we do, we are to, and that's why I say pray without ceasing. You know, cover your words, cover each other, cover leadership. You know, when they're sharing and when people are sharing some horrible, hideous things that are going on in their life, we need to have our leaders covered, because the enemy can take those things and use them and build on them a warfare against the leader, because it's all going to be about scattering the leaders and making the sheep destroying the leaders and making the sheep scatter. it is why discerning the spirit is so important. Strange fire has spiritual power, manifestation, and even information, but it is not holy. The heart of God is not in it. Character of God is not in it. Anytime someone appears very powerful in the realm of the spirit, but their character doesn't line up, their fruit doesn't look like it should, then it should be a yellow light. Blink, 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 check it out, check it out. Pray and fast. He says, I fear that often strange fire manifests, deceives God's people on to unloose evil plans against them. So as you see, it we release those plans to us through being deceived by this Jezebel spirit and embracing strange fire, agreeing with something that we shouldn't agree with, giving our opinion that isn't in line with heaven's agenda. It says, I do not write to put fear in you, but to arm you for battle and effectively equip you. There's no time to be distracted or delayed. Strange fire works through Jezebel, releasing false prophetic utterances and unholy encounters. So they're going to do powerful things. They're going to manifest, but they're unholy. We must righteously identify and avoid these spirits and their agenda. So that's the other thing. They may have an agenda that you like. Oh, I like that agenda, but that's not the agenda of the house. Well, then, you know, you either do one of two things. You either leave the house or you get with the house agenda. And even if it's something that you feel the house may, you know, desire or need or whatever, then you take that to the leader. You don't initiate it through getting popular opinion, this TikTok thing, what people are doing. If they can't get the legislatures or those that are in power to hear them, they go on TikTok and they get, you know, 100,000 followers that fall for their okey-doke. So now they have this, they become influencers. You hear how the enemy is working. You become influencers, but not on behalf of the kingdom of God, but rather on behalf of the agenda of man. Because it's something that someone wants to accomplish for themselves, not for the kingdom of God. And so we have to really identify these things and live. It says pray without ceasing, praying and fasting, having the spiritual discipline that keep us focused on Holy Spirit's ministry in our life. I just love God the way in the last 2 years or so, before then, for 10 years, we have been saying enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord showed us when we were studying one of the books concerning the Holy Spirit, it's like first you got to know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You got to embrace it. Then you got to obey it. Then you can enjoy it. And so we kind of started at the end. Now we got to stop and look at the beginning. Do we know what his ministry is? And in the book of Acts, which the church is going to study in the month of September, we're going to see just how invasive or pervasive the Holy Spirit is in the life of the church. And he is needed for everything. Which is why Christ said, y'all go over there, but don't do nothing. Don't do anything. Just wait until the promise comes, which is the Holy Spirit, because it is him that will make the connection. One of the things I had read in one of the, you know, In Touch and In the Word, they talked about fiber optics. And when it first started, you know, like in the 20s or something, they laid fiber optic tubes, if you will, from America to Europe underwater. And with this fiber optic, people were able to do long distance for like 3,000 people to be on the telephone, this fiber optic. But then they found that the fiber optic pipes were being broken, and they couldn't figure out why. Well, apparently, whatever they wrap the fiber optic in, it attracts the sharks, and sharks would eat through it and cut off the contact from one place to another, which I never knew that's how the telephone, you know, and long distance. It's so changed since then. But just understanding that someone laid a line, I'll say a telephone line, in the ocean from America to Europe to connect, okay? Well, that's how we have to see the Holy Spirit. He is our connection to heaven. Now, and I'm going to eat no holes through him, okay? But they did learn to wrap it in something that the shark didn't like, or the shark left it alone, okay? And I believe that, you know, that was such a message for us, because when we're wrapped in spiritual discipline, okay, then we're always connected with the Holy Spirit, and he's always going to connect us to heaven. And so no matter how, like, this seems like incredible to string a line, you know, and who put the line down in the bottom of the ocean, and, you know, what an undertaking that had to be. It's just beyond my, you know, concept in the 20s, because now we have all kinds of things that they can use, but in the 20s we weren't that technologically advanced as we are now, and yet they accomplished this. They accomplished this thing, this fiber optic. And so just understanding that God accomplished this thing with the Holy Spirit, and it connects us to heaven so that we never have to be disconnected. We'll always have this flow of light, because fiber optic is light, and, you know, light waves and just a bunch of technical stuff, but they're light waves. So the Holy Spirit enlightens us. He's our light way. He's the way. He is the way we get the truth of Christ. That's how we get it. Christ released it, and we get it through the ministry of the Holy Spirit every day, every moment, everybody who loves the Lord, which is why even in the book of Acts, they often say there were some that loved Christ, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit because they needed to be connected. Okay, so it was like, okay, there's got to be a connection. Now there was a connection between heaven and the Jews. Now there had to be a connection between heaven and the Gentiles. And so they had to run another line. Okay, and that light came through Paul. Okay, the light for Gentiles came through. I mean, the light for the Israelites came through Peter. But it is such a wonderful, 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 it's not just a story, but account of what all God has done, and then how he has used the things around us to aid in us understanding the power of it, and the way it functions, and the importance of it. And so for some people, that'll do it. For others, there are other parables, and there are other examples and different things that will do it. So I'm going to get to the end of this chapter, and I just want to read this one part. It says, how can we properly discern the Jezebel spirit, strange fire, witchcraft, or false prophetic ministry? There are a few pieces of advice that this author would give. Number one, examine the motive. Proverbs 4 and 23 warns us to guard our hearts. We are to purify our hearts, examine our motives, and allow Holy Spirit to search us and reveal any improper agenda. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then when I was looking at this, I realized this whole pattern that God has laid out before us, but we were looking at the 33 heart conditions. And it says guard your heart. Each one of those conditions need to be met. Each one. And when they're not, there is, it's a weak link. And it is can become a portal for the enemy to get in and to establish a stronghold. Then it says the Jezebel spirit always has an agenda. There is a wrong motive behind every activity of Jezebel. One of the ways you can properly discern the Jezebel spirit is by examining motives. Another way is by examining fruit, the fruit of the spirit. Most of the encounters I have had with this spirit have been with people who have a track record of sowing discord, dishonor, and bad character. And so it's okay for us to forgive people. It's okay for us to give people another opportunity to do the right thing. It's okay for us to forget their past, because that's what the Bible says. But their fruit needs to be acknowledged. And if it's not good, then that needs to be one of the alarms in our spiritogram to go into fasting and praying to get the direction from the Holy Spirit, because he can tell you if this is an opportunity for growth and development and forgiveness, or this is something that has the wrong motives, and when they say seem right, the end thereof is destruction. Also, examine the methodology. We will explore this deeper in the book, but the Jezebel spirit does things in a sneaky way to avoid proper oversight, because it is a rebellious spirit. So when someone goes behind the back of the leader to build up a consensus to support what they want to do, then that's a sneaky way. It's improper, and it is a rebellious spirit. A Jezebel spirit is a forceful rank breaker that regards no one but itself. It will dishonor leaders and breach protocol every time. Whenever these behaviors are rampant, there is a wrong spirit. All right. So what insight, information did you glean from the third chapter? Anybody?
I was just looking at, we were having a conversation about this generation, the young people, and we were saying that they were rebellious. Mm-hmm. And so Prophet was saying, you said they're rebellious. And so a couple of us, several of us saying, yes, they're very rebellious. They have no respect for authority. You know, and I know that there are some of my relatives, they have no respect for authority. You know, they just want to do it their way. They want to do, you know, what they want to do. And so when I was reading, you know, when I was reading this about rebellion, and and he gave the definition from the dictionary and said opposition to one in authority or dominance. So a lot of the young people, they oppose authority. I was thinking that spirit is working in our children. You know, the teachers talk about how the children, don't want to obey them.
Mm-hmm.
They, rise up against them. And when I was looking at this, I said, oh my goodness, this spirit is trying to take over our children. That type of spirit. But it's very, I found it very educational because, when we were coming out, they always referred to the Jezebel spirit as provocative, They would always, say the woman, that Jezebel, but it was never really explained in this manner. It was always sexual or provocative like that, but not in this manner. So I just find it educational, more enlightening to know that, more to Jezebel's fear than what we were, how we were told or she was referred to when we were coming along.
Amen. Very good insight. excuse me, that this is also one of the ways, once we identify it, then you know what to do with it. And like you said, if you think of it as just provocative, it's not just sexual. And so if you try to just address it sexually, you're going to miss it. That's not what it is. But it's motive. What's their motive in doing this? What's their motive in rebelling? I know that as a young person, I rebelled. I was horrible. And the reason, because I wanted my way. I did. So that's just Jezebel's spirit, which is why, that was part of the way the Lord had to discipline me, even, about the past, just stuff that didn't even make sense. Like, what does God do with anything? And yet I had to learn it's because authority said that, and I must obey, period. But I had to learn that. I had to learn that. And I think that may be part of where the breakdown is for these young people, because as you just identify this rebelliousness, we just think of it as provocative. And it isn't. It's more than that. It really is them wanting their way and not understanding that they have to coexist with the rest of the world. And so, in order to do that, you can't always have your way, but you'll be okay. But we have so stressed. You got a right for this, and you got a right for that, and you got a right for some rights are just not going to be met. But you'll be okay, because God got a right that all of us perish, okay? But He gave us grace, so children have to be taught grace. No, what kid is taught grace? None. We may tell them, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, for them, how they want them to do other than them? They want them to leave them alone, period. They don't want to get along with them. They don't want to live in harmony. That is not what they want, because they don't know to want that.
You know, so I think that we have to shift what we are sharing with them. We share, don't do this and don't do that, and why are you doing this? Why? We got to share, hey, try this, do this. I think of the things that caused me to change, the things that caused me not to want to have my way. With, you know, because I'm just being for real, you got one in my way. But then I had to start to care about other people. And so how do you teach a child to care about other people? I mean, I don't necessarily know, but I'm just, you know, sharing that we haven't met all of their needs. That's one of the things the young people said on that Friday. When they, you know, what they see around them, which I think is very interesting, is the fact that everything that is wrong is celebrated, and what we have told them is right is condemned. So if they say they're a Christian, then they are persecuted. But if you say you're BGQW or whatever, then it's like, you know, you got a right to be you, you know, and you know, all of this positivity that they give to them. Well, those that are not thinking that way, you're looking at this and it's like, this don't make sense. And they are angry, too, I might add, because it doesn't make sense. And so I think that for our young people, like I had shared, I don't know, maybe I shared Wednesday or something, but after that Friday service, my heart just broke for young people, you know, because they really are in between a vice, you know, and the vice is getting smaller and smaller, you know, and you know how you tighten it and tighten it and tighten it, you know, because they don't have anyone to rescue them with a truth that works for them. And they need to see it work. So as a result, enough people, Christians, have to live like it's working for them to then have any confidence in trying it themselves. I think that when we are exposed to children, and I remember when I was young, you know, a child should be seen and not heard. You couldn't, you know, period, not talk back. Well, you really couldn't talk back. But you really couldn't, you know, it's like just be quiet, you know, which was just, for me, impossible. Because it was like, but I need somebody to hear me. And that's what I hear kids say. You're not listening. No one listens to me. You're not listening. We're not, because we just want you to be quiet. We don't want you to say nothing. We just want you to sit down and shut up. Pretty much. You know, so, and they can't. You know, they're exploding with all this stuff on the inside that they need somebody to help them sort it out in a way that's doable, I put it that way. And, so we are challenged and they are challenged, and I think truth will make us better equipped, and the Holy Spirit will give us an insight when we see them do some dumb stuff they do. He can allow us to see something different. He can allow us to see something deeper. He can allow us to see the spirit and the source of that problem. Hold on 1 second. Hello? Okay, sorry about that. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. You were saying something, Elder?
No, I thought you was trying to see if you were still here.
What you
And I was
you said what? I thought someone was getting ready to say something before you asked us to hold on. And then I thought you were saying hello to make sure we were still here.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was, morning. I was going to say, I remember as we was growing up, my mom used to always say, do as I say, not as I do. And to me, that was controversial. And I remember, you know, things I would say to my son, and he would be like, Mom, you saying those things, but you're not doing it yourself. And so all this, that too is could be a Jezebel spirit, right? Correct? Where we're saying one thing, but we're doing another. And then that's a confusion to our young people because, so that's all. So we have to watch,
Yeah, we're going to find out that that is the spirit of Beelzebub. Okay, she ain't the only one out there. But that's the spirit of lies. And that's just a lie, you know. So, and that takes a different kind of warfare on our part, you know. Which is why we're gonna get to those things, you know. And as we identify them, we may see that we have been fighting a gas fire with, you know, I don't know, gasoline or something. I don't know. You know, instead of sand, you know, with water, which it doesn't work. So we're going to be equipped to fight the right kind of fire with the right kind of weapon.
Right.
Because Beelzebub is the spirit of lies, and that displacing authority are teachers. So we have to tell the truth. So a parent is a teacher. So it is not, you're teaching a lie when you say, do what I say, not as I do. That is not teaching. That's a lie.
That's why I think with my mother, she never told us that. She would let us express ourselves, express what, you know, because if you say don't do something, she believed that she should explain to you why you she's telling you not to do it and the consequences behind you doing it, you know, not just because I said it. And so I think sometimes you have to listen to children. Some parents say, shut up, I said do, blah, blah, don't say it, just do it, or won't let them. They have no conversation with their children. They don't listen. Mm-hmm. They don't listen to them. And I think children have a lot to say, you know.
You have to say.
I mean, sometimes they may not say it in the manner you want to say it.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, if you just let them express themselves, then you can help them to learn how to express themselves in the right manner.
Right.
And know that you're listening to them, you know. And they won't be afraid to come and talk to you about things.
Yeah.
Because I believe they have a lot to say. But because we beat them down, then they just don't want to say nothing at all because they feel like, well, she's not going to listen to me anyway.
Right. That's true.
So they become afraid to say something or afraid to approach you with something or express, so they just don't talk to you.
Absolutely. I think that one of the things that I had to learn, especially with this generation, because they are different, is I can listen to them, but I don't understand their point of reference because it's not mine. So they may say something, and I have a thought about it. Like, you know, I'll just use Timothy, you know. he may say something. I go, oh, no, you can't do that. You know, such and such and such and such. Because mm-hmm. I'm thinking with my thoughts. Then he, you know, they're not short on words. And he'll mm-hmm. say, no, grandma, because such and such and such and such and such. And it's like, oh, okay. And he's right. And it's like, or I'll realize, oh, I didn't know that. You know, mm-hmm. when I heard that word, I thought of this. When they say that word, they're talking about something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Okay. So it's like, what do you mean? What are you trying to say? So I ask for a question, and then they get tired of me. Oh, I can't talk to you. Because I asked too many questions. Because it's like, at some point, I don't know. I'm not sure. It's like, so now I'll ask, now, is this a trick question?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know. But I do want to, mm-hmm. I'm listening. I am listening.
Right.
Yes, I am. You know, and right. so
help
often
me to
we
understand, you know, tell them.
Right, exactly.
Help me understand.
You're not kidding. You're going to have to explain that to me. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, there's certain things now in today's society. I mean, just like, you know, when I think I first, I don't know, was something I was doing, and I thought it was really nice, you know. So I used this picture, and I got all excited about it. And actually, your granddaughter told me, said, Grandma, do you know that's LGBTQ or whatever it is? I said, what do you see that at? Okay. So it was a bunch of kids. Some were in wheelchairs. I mean, but it
mm-hmm.
was like a good representative of a lot of different children, different races.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking I got something really good. But I guess if this mm-hmm. one got this bow in their head, this one got these
mm-hmm.
kind of socks on it, it's like they just had socks on to me. But
mm-hmm.
like these two colors meant one thing, and these four colors meant that they were something else. I said, well, my
right.
God, who can keep up with all this stuff? So this
mm-hmm.
means they want to be a girl, but they're a boy. This means they're a boy,
mm-hmm.
but they like
mm-hmm.
boys. You know, or this means they're a girl, and they like, you know, it's like all these different, you know. So thing on Friday when Timothy said a woman should love a man and a man should love a woman. He is so sick, and his thing now is, and women need to know, he says, and this, he because he'll talk, he'll say, well, what's real, Loma? You know, is the eyelashes hers, a booty hers, is the lip hers, is the titties
Lord,
hers? I mean, because they want to, now they want to know what's real. so now it's like, ain't no need you getting all upset or incited about it. It ain't even real. She's going to take all that crap off when she, you scream. that's how they think.
Wow.
Well, you know, they all say 13 now. So,
wow.
And then when I thought about it, is that her hair? Are those her nails? I mean, you just, the whole
right.
nine. I said, you know what? Y'all got it bad, baby. I said,
okay.
you really good. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. Not yet. I said, that's why you let the Lord pick your woman. Okay. That's because
that's
only he knows what he gave her originally. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they do. They are more challenged in that aspect than we were, because we didn't have any
yeah.
options, you know. But, you know, I didn't even know people bought booties and stuff and hips. And it's like, who does that? There's a lot of people. Yes,
mostly,
and a lot of kids. Huh?
But they've had that out for as long as I can. I think when I was a teenager,
mm-hmm.
Actually even before I was a teenager, I was still in grammar school. I knew that they had, you know, underclothes that made, you know, your hips look, you know, this, your butt look this, and your breast this, and then as later years went on, then they started putting this stuff
mm-hmm.
and doing that stuff. I said, they crazy.
Now, I knew the breast, but I didn't. No, people did booties and some bottoms.
Because my mother's sister-in-law, used to have those that underwear for the hips and the butt.
It's so funny because I wish you could have heard the list. He would not. Are they her teeth? I mean, he went down the list so long. I felt bad for him. I really did. Yeah, you know what? But anyway, so.
Yes, yes, yes.
Our children.
This book is very interesting. Very, very, very.
Yes, it is. In my
thought-provoking.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. I am enjoying it. I really am.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, well, we have, we're all through the hour. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, well, we're going to chapter 40. Sure.
And each one, if you are already or if you're not, pray for our sister Jessica Fanny.
Oh, okay.
Her. She's been in the hospital.
Oh,
but
okay.
She's doing better now, she says. So keep her prayers.
She sure will. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All
right. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we'll
I had
definitely
text message she had sent me, and I didn't realize that she was in the hospital. She's out now. But
She said
she's feeling better. The medicine was helping. I didn't ask any questions. I just prayed.
Okay. Amen. Praying. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. We sure will.
Okay.
Okay. All right, then everybody enjoy, embrace, obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Ma'am.
All right. Love you.
Okay. Same to you.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Praise the Lord. Bye-bye. That just would have been bad to me. Thank you. angry. Oh, so much of work.
She didn't call me this. It's still on.